Our gospel reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 43 through 51. And we listen for the word of God. Now the next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. And Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." And Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." Nathanael answered him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And Jesus answered him, "Now because I said to you, I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You will see even greater things than these." And he said to him, "Truly, truly I say to you, you will see heaven open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." For this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, a number of years ago, there was a comedy routine about God speaking to an unsuspecting Noah who was being called by the Lord to remember to prepare for the great flood. And there is this call, "Noah, Noah, this is the Lord." "Yeah, right, the Lord." "Noah, this is the Lord, and I want you to build an ark." "Yeah, right, Lord. What's an ark?" And Noah doesn't really get the very serious until God asks him, "Noah, how long can you tread water?" And so our lesson today is similar. It's close to dawn, and we're told that the lamps have not yet gone out. When Samuel hears his name being called, Samuel, Samuel, and he assumes that it's the voice of the aging priest Eli, to whom Samuel was a very dutiful attendant. And so we have Samuel come running down the hall to Eli's room saying, "Here I am, boss." And Eli, opening one eye, sort of says, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." And then when that happens for the third time, as the poet Rutke says, in a dark time the eye begins to see. And here we see the lamp of God and the ark both represent the very presence of God in the darkness into which Israel's spiritual blindness has led them. Eli's blindness is not defined by his sightlessness, but really sort of serves as a characterization of the time where we are told that the word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not yet widespread. And yet, it's precisely in the middle of this inauspicious setting that a new word is heard, where God comes and speaks again to this young boy, the offspring of what had been his mother, Hannah's barrenness. And listen as God speaks. And yet in Eli, the old prophet, we see a pathetic figure of a religious leader who had really lost most of his physical as well as spiritual vision. And there was a time, sort of like the blind leading the blind. And Eli's sons were in control of the temple. And they really ran it according to their own selfish ways. They, to their advantage. And Eli had no control over them. And so we see this kind of spiritual vacuum in those days. And when Samuel heard the voice of one calling out to him, he assumed that it was the voice of Eli. He did not expect the unexpected. He did not expect it to be the voice of God. And yet, as Eli said, when you hear it, say, speak, God, for I am listening. I like the story of the old rabbi who one day was in his temple, and he was praying and crying, and when suddenly he heard this voice saying to him, Rabbi, Rabbi, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And through his tears, the rabbi sobs, my son, my only son has left the faith and has become a Christian. And God says, yours too? So we see Samuel did listen, but it was not without the urging of the aged Eli. The old priest represented what was passing away. Without his support, Samuel would not have listened, would not have heard the word of God that came to him there in the middle of the night. And as I think about Eli's role in this story, and I believe we can understand about that which is old and established and traditional in relationship to the New Age stuff and to a different world in which we often find ourselves. And so what does it mean in the middle of the night, say, about when and where God still speaks to us? Or can we even listen at times when it seems most unlikely that anything good can ever happen? Can we understand, you see, the blessings that is more than just beautiful sunsets and happy moments? How can we look around and say that the lamp is still burning when the darkness seems to cast a shadow on our world? And yet God reminds us in the prologue of John's gospel that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. And so you see, we believe that God is still speaking even today. But maybe one of the major questions often is are we listening? What an awesome act, having an open conversation with God. God says, you have problems, I have possibilities. You have roadblocks, and I have new directions. And is it too much to show respect or decency or kindness to someone who doesn't look like us or doesn't live where we live? Any dialogue we have with God requires that responsibility to listen, to hear, even what we don't want to hear. And so sometimes it's really learning how to listen. As long as God is still speaking, it behooves us to keep listening. We should never presume that because we think we're right, that gives us the right to do all of the talking. There are times we need to listen and to learn that art. For we see our nation is really full of pain. And when we're shaken loose of identities and securities that have held us for years, we find ourselves questioning whether it is God's voice that we're hearing, or is it our own making? What are we doing here? God calls us and meets us in the sanctuary so often of the escape agendas that we have. And yet, he nourishes our needs with angel touches, gives us that encouragement to always move forward, to listen, to go, to touch, to heal, and feel that we are touched, to know that we are really held by his compassionate hand. A friend said one day that he suffered from skin hunger. He said, "What's skin hunger?" And he said, "Well, it's just that hunger to be held, to be cradled, to be hugged, to be touched as human, as well as divine." And God longs to touch us, and so the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Jesus came with that new word, and we ought to be glad that the law of Jesus supersedes the law of Leviticus, where love really reigns instead of vengeance. There is no question that our world is full of pain, and I believe that life in our world could be much better when we really decide to be a part of some of the change that's happening to merely make this world into the kingdom of God. And I really think we strive to do precisely that. It happens when we hear the call of God and when we're willing to say, "Lord, speak, for your servant is listening." Samuel, Samuel, Mary, John, Paul, Susan, Bill, God says to us, "Talk to me. Talk to me. Hear me." And you know, it's amazing what can happen when we really stop talking about each other and start talking to each other. And I pray we're listening. Oh, gracious God, you have called us to mission, to care and compassion. Your voice is still speaking to us. Help us to pause from our hectic lives and listen. We are humbled by your presence. Speak to us and through us. Help us to always walk the talk and be faithful to your word. Amen. So stand as you are able, and we will sing hymn.